This is GMJ Audio from the Georgian Medical Journal News. How Gut Dysbiosis Triggers Systemic Inflammation, a Mechanistic Overview. Editorially reviewed by Prof. Georgi Pihakadze, MPH, PhD, GMJ News Desk. Moderate evidence. When beneficial bacteria in the gut decline and harmful species proliferate, the intestinal barrier weakens, allowing bacterial toxins to enter the bloodstream and trigger a cascade of systemic inflammation affecting metabolism, hormones, and multiple organ systems. This condition, termed metabolic endotoxemia, represents a mechanistic link between gut dysbiosis and chronic disease states, including metabolic dysfunction, insulin resistance, and inflammatory disorders. Key takeaways: dysbiosis reduces short-chain fatty acid, SCFA, producing bacteria, weakening the intestinal barrier, and impairing GLP-1 signaling that regulates appetite and blood glucose. Increased intestinal permeability allows lipopolysaccharides, LPS, from gram-negative bacteria to enter circulation, activating immune receptors and driving chronic low-grade inflammation. Systemic inflammation impairs multiple organ systems. Adipose tissue dysfunction, leading to leptin and insulin resistance, hepatic steatosis, pancreatic insulin secretion impairment, and neuroinflammatory effects on mood and appetite regulation. This inflammatory loop reinforces metabolic dysfunction and fat accumulation across tissues, creating a self-perpetuating cycle. Four major organ systems affected by gut-derived systemic inflammation: adipose tissue, liver, pancreas, and central nervous system. Pathways from dysbiosis to systemic inflammation, sequential mechanisms linking gut microbiota imbalance to multi-organ dysfunction, intestinal barrier integrity loss, baseline trigger LPS-mediated immune activation, primary inflammation, adipose tissue inflammation, metabolic impairment, hepatic and pancreatic dysfunction, organ-level effects, neuroinflammatory effects, CNS impact. Source: Mechanistic Pathway Analysis. Georgian Medical Journal News, from microbial balance to intestinal barrier dysfunction. A healthy gut microbiota produces metabolically active compounds, particularly short-chain fatty acids, SCFAs, such as butyrate and propionate, that serve as signaling molecules regulating appetite, blood glucose homeostasis, and intestinal immune tolerance. SCFAs strengthen tight junctions between intestinal epithelial cells and promote the production of regulatory T cells and interleukin-10, maintaining immune homeostasis. When diet quality deteriorates and nutrient absorption becomes excessive, the microbial community shifts. SCFA-producing species diminish while proteolytic and lipolytic bacteria expand. The loss of SCFA-producing microbes creates a dual deficit. First, reduced butyrate availability weakens tight junctions directly, impairing expression of claudins and occludin, proteins essential for intestinal barrier integrity. Second, SCFA depletion reduces activation of GPR43 and GPR109A, G-protein-coupled receptors on intestinal cells that regulate GLP-1 secretion and glucose-dependent insulinotropic peptide, GI, production. These incretin hormones normally act in the pancreas to enhance insulin secretion and in the brain to promote satiety and glucose regulation. Their suppression contributes to dysglycemia and appetite discontrol. Metabolic endotoxemia, the leaky gut inflammation bridge. As the intestinal barrier becomes permeable, bacterial lipopolysaccharides, LPS, endotoxins from the outer membrane of gram-negative bacteria, translocate into the systemic circulation in quantities sufficient to activate toll-like receptor 4, TLR4, and CD14 on immune cells. This state, termed metabolic endotoxemia, is distinguished from acute bacterial sepsis by chronic low-grade elevation of circulating LPS and LPS binding protein, typically below the threshold that produces fever or clinical toxicity, but sufficient to sustain persistent immune activation. LPS-TLR4 engagement on macrophages, dendritic cells, and other innate immune cells triggers production of pro-inflammatory cytokines, including tumor necrosis factor alpha, TNF-FA, interleukin-6, IL-6, and interleukin-1 by IL-1-BOTA. These cytokines penetrate tissues and induce serine phosphorylation of insulin receptor substrate 1, IRS-1, a critical step in inhibiting insulin signaling. The resulting insulin resistance impairs glucose uptake in muscle and adipose tissue, promotes hepatic glucose production, and drives compensatory hyperinsulinemia, which in turn stimulates adipose tissue lipogenesis and energy storage, establishing a self-perpetuating cycle of metabolic dysfunction. Chronic low-grade endotoxemia from dysbiosis-induced gut barrier dysfunction activates systemic innate immunity, driving insulin resistance through TLR4-mediated pro-inflammatory cytokine production and IRS1 inhibition, a mechanistic pathway linking dysbiosis to metabolic disease. Consensus from contemporary gut microbiota and metabolic endocrinology literature, Nature Reviews Gastroenterology and Hepatology, Molecular Metabolism, 2022-2024. Adipose inflammation and hormonal resistance. Inflamed adipose tissue becomes a secondary source of circulating pro-inflammatory mediators, amplifying systemic inflammation beyond the initial LPS-driven response. TNFI and IL-6 produced both systemically and within adipose tissue macrophages, crown-like structures surrounding dying adipocytes, further impair adiponectin secretion, a hormone that normally enhances insulin sensitivity and energy expenditure. Meanwhile, elevated circulating free fatty acids, released from lipolytic adipose tissue under inflammatory stress, activate TLR4 on hepatic and pancreatic cells, perpetuating inflammation in these organ systems. Leptin resistance represents a particularly important consequence of adipose inflammation. Although leptin levels typically rise in obese individuals, chronic inflammation impairs leptin signaling through activation of suppressor of cytokine signaling, SOF-S, proteins, which inhibit Janus kinase and signal transducer and activator of transcription, JAK-STAT, pathways in the hypothalamus. The result is blunted satiety signaling despite high circulating leptin, promoting overeating and energy accumulation. Simultaneously, dysbiosis-associated changes in cortisol metabolism, reduced conversion of inactive cortisone to active cortisol in the gut microbiota, may increase systemic cortisol exposure, further promoting visceral adiposity and suppressing immune tolerance. Multi-organ consequences, liver, pancreas, and brain. Beyond adipose tissue, systemic inflammation from dysbiosis-induced endotoxemia propagates to the liver, where LPS and free fatty acids activate TLR4 and TLR9 on hepatic innate immune cells, driving hepatic steatosis, fatty liver disease, and impairing the liver's glucose regulatory function. Hepatic insulin resistance paradoxically increases endogenous glucose production despite hyperinsulinemia, worsening fasting glycemia. Mechanistically, LPS promotes hepatic de novo lipogenesis while suppressing fatty acid oxidation through NFKB-mediated transcriptional changes, creating a state of lipid overload within hepatocytes. In the pancreas, inflammation impairs beta cell insulin secretion and increases apoptosis, reducing the pancreas's capacity to meet the elevated insulin demand imposed by peripheral insulin resistance. This contributes to progression from metabolic dysfunction toward overt type 2 diabetes. Additionally, dysbiosis and endotoxemia promote intestinal barrier dysfunction in the pancreas-associated lymphoid tissue, allowing translocation of lipopolysaccharides and bacterial antigens that exacerbate local and systemic inflammatory responses. Neuroinflammatory effects represent an increasingly recognized consequence of dysbiosis. Pro-inflammatory cytokines cross the blood-brain barrier and activate microglial cells and astrocytes, promoting production of IL-1 beta and TNF-Fa within the central nervous system. These mediators impair hippocampal synaptic plasticity and reduce brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, expression, contributing to depression, anxiety, and cognitive dysfunction. Dysbiosis also disrupts the synthesis of microbial metabolites, including tryptophan metabolites that regulate aryl hydrocarbon receptor signaling, which normally support the intestinal barrier and immune tolerance. Their deficiency exacerbates both gut and brain inflammation. The network of interactions among dysbiosis, endotoxemia, inflammation, and organ dysfunction creates a self-reinforcing cycle. Metabolic dysfunction promotes further dysbiosis through altered bile acid metabolism and reduced microbial diversity. Dysbiosis worsens endotoxemia and inflammation. Inflammation further impairs metabolic regulation and intestinal barrier function. Breaking this cycle requires addressing both dysbiosis and the inflammatory state simultaneously. Current evidence suggests that dietary interventions promoting SCFA production, e.g., increased dietary fiber and fermented foods, selective antimicrobial approaches, and anti-inflammatory strategies may offer synergistic benefits, though large-scale randomized controlled trials remain limited. Explore more about clinical updates on metabolic health and mechanistic explainers of gut health on the GMJ News Portal. What this means for patients: persistent symptoms of bloating, fatigue, or weight gain, despite dietary efforts, may reflect underlying dysbiosis and systemic inflammation. Working with clinicians to identify dysbiosis through microbiota analysis and adopting high-fiber, fermented food diets rich in polyphenols can help restore beneficial bacteria and reduce endotoxemia. Reducing ultra-processed foods, managing stress, and ensuring adequate sleep support, microbiota recovery, and lower systemic inflammation. For clinicians, recognition of dysbiosis-driven metabolic endotoxemia provides a mechanistic rationale for investigating microbiota composition in patients with insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, or unexplained chronic inflammation. Microbiota-targeted interventions, including dietary counseling, targeted antimicrobial therapy, or probiotic supplementation, may complement conventional metabolic management. Monitoring markers of intestinal barrier integrity, zonula occludens 1, claudins, and endotoxemia, LPS binding protein, may help stratify patients and track therapeutic response. For policymakers, dysbiosis-driven metabolic disease imposes substantial healthcare burden through type 2 diabetes, fatty liver disease, and cardiovascular complications. Public health strategies promoting dietary quality, fiber intake, and reduced ultra-processed food consumption can address dysbiosis at the population level. Healthcare systems should prioritize microbiota research, standardize dysbiosis assessment in metabolic disease screening, and allocate resources to understanding and implementing dysbiosis-targeted interventions in primary and secondary care. Frequently asked questions: what tests can identify dysbiosis? Dysbiosis can be assessed through whole genome sequencing of fecal samples, 16S RNA gene sequencing, or shotgun metagenomics, which quantifies bacterial diversity and identifies shifts in dominant taxa. Metabolic markers such as fecal SCFA concentrations and serum lipopolysaccharide binding protein, LBP levels, provide functional and inflammatory readouts. However, standardized diagnostic thresholds for dysbiosis remain under development. Interpretation should involve specialists familiar with microbiota analysis. How quickly can dietary changes restore a healthy microbiota? Microbial composition begins to shift within days to weeks of dietary changes, with increased consumption of plant-based foods promoting expansion of SCFA-producing bacteria, e.g. Faecalibacterium prausnitzii, Roseburius BP. However, sustained changes in microbial diversity and function typically require 4 to 12 weeks of consistent dietary adherence. Individual variation in baseline microbiota composition and metabolic status influences the speed and magnitude of response. Can probiotics reverse dysbiosis-driven inflammation? The evidence for probiotics in reversing dysbiosis is mixed. Single-strain probiotics show limited benefit, while multi-strain formulations and fermented foods, which deliver diverse living bacteria and metabolites, demonstrate greater promise in small trials. Probiotics appear most effective when combined with dietary changes that promote endogenous beneficial bacteria growth. Probiotic monotherapy without dietary modification shows modest and often transient effects. Larger, mechanistically informed randomized trials are needed to establish clinical utility. Understanding the pathway from dysbiosis to systemic inflammation offers hope for preventive and therapeutic interventions. As the mechanisms linking gut health to metabolic disease become clearer, microbiota-targeted strategies are likely to become standard in managing chronic metabolic and inflammatory disorders. Future research should prioritize large-scale trials testing the efficacy of dysbiosis-targeted interventions, standardizing diagnostic and therapeutic approaches, and identifying patient subgroups most likely to benefit from specific microbiota-directed therapies. Source: when gut imbalance turns into whole body inflammation.